We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Hour number two here on a Thursday. Soggy surprise Arizona, our spring training coverage. We'll get back to a lot of baseball talk. Ned Yost coming up next hour. Ian Kennedy, Hunter Dozier telling us about his best bus ride story. Those two in the 1 o'clock hour. Our coverage brought to you by Velocity Academy. You can find them online at velocityacademy.org or call 816-425-5870 right off Highway 71 in Belton. All the latest technologies, Rapsodo, HitTrax, Garmin Impact Technologies. They do the driveline pitching and hitting. Classes available right now. You can get signed up at velocityacademy.org. Pitching, hitting, strength and conditioning, speed and agility classes. Their competitive teams coming this fall. You can ask about that. Baseball, softball, they will help your hitters and pitchers at Velocity Academy. Go to velocityacademy.org. Our coverage also brought to you by our friends at Sprint. We talked to Blair Kirchhoff. Blair is brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, where you right now you can save $22,000 off MSRP on a 2018 GMC Sierra. Listen, if your truck is your office and you don't mind that the truck is an 18 model, still a brand new truck, $22,000 off MSRP. Get to Brogdon now. I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. Blair, how are you, sir?
Doing great. How is Arizona?
Sucks, man. It's cold and rainy, and it's been cold the whole time. But I'll tell you what, it's been giving me a great appreciation for all the people that actually work in really difficult elements. It's cold at like 39 degrees sitting outside for, 39 to 50 with a breeze in the shade. That's cold, man. So I got a great appreciation for everybody who actually works in real tough elements. But it's kind of hampering the Royals' ability to get some things done. I know they're ready for it to warm up. And it's supposed to warm up, I believe, the moment Rudy and I step on the plane. It instantly goes to bright sunshine and like 75 degrees if you look at the weather in surprise. Like the moment we leave, it gets better.
Wheels up.
Story of my life.
As soon as wheels are up, you'll feel the heat through the window of the plane. Yep. That's how it's going to be for you. Yes. That's too bad. And you're right. I mean, that's. I imagine guys have to take a little longer in the morning to get loose, and not you, but Royals.
It does take me longer to get loose. Now, getting loose is an entirely different meaning when we talk about me. But yes, it does take longer now. Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right, Blair. Let's talk a little bit about the happenings last night. The biggest news of the day in sports is Zion Williamson blowing out his shoe and spraining, I guess you would say, his knee. Did you see the report that like the almost 2% drop in Nike stock is like about a $3 billion valuation loss for Nike over this shoe thing?
I didn't see that. But it's funny. It's the first thing I thought of when it happened. When I saw the replay, I had to make sure, I had to double check. I knew this, but I had to double check that there was a swoosh on the Duke uniform. So, yep, it's Nike. And then thought, oh my gosh, Nike's going to get crushed over that. And I guess it's happening. How can that happen? How can a shoe blow up that way? I know there's thousands of pounds of torque going on, but I don't know if I've ever seen a shoe blow up quite like that.
I remember a shoe ripping up. I remember Dexter McCluster. Remember those days?
Oh yeah,
up at Chiefs camp.
Yes.
Yeah. So Dexter McCluster, I remember. He's blown out his shoes. Oh, so what? But it was a big deal. This one results in an injury, or at least it happens on a play that he's injured. Maybe the injury occurred first and then the shoe blew out. I don't know. I don't really care. It happened all at the same time. And what I think is amazing is, it's because it's Zion Williamson. It speaks to how important he is, because this has happened before. I know I've seen it. It was just a player that was just, a good or okay or average player. But when it's Zion Williamson, this is huge news. And no doubt, he's a guy that tickets are going for over $2,000 there in Cameron Indoor for this game. Now, it's Duke Carolina. It's one of the great rivalries. That's a big part of the equation as well. But I think it is, you know, it speaks to his impact that it's because it happened to Zion Williamson that everybody sees it, knows it. You know, Nike wants to sign the guy. Sure. Next year to try to move his shoes. He's maybe the most dynamic player to come out of college basketball since who, Blair? I mean,
Anthony Davis. In terms of impact, you know, that you can foresee immediate impact.
I'll say this: I don't know that Zion Williamson is going to be as good a player as Anthony Davis, because I think there's some long-limbed guys that can move in the league, and so some of this wheeling and dealing and spinning in the league, he's going to wheel and deal and spin, and then a real seven-footer, not listed seven-footer, right? Like Yudoka Azubuike's barefoot was 6'10 and a quarter.
Right.
He's going to spin in one of these, you know, Smokey McSmells a lot European piano movers are going to be waiting for him, and it's going to be harder for him at the next level. He's going to be dynamic. He's going to win dunk contests. He's going to be a very good player. But I don't know that he's going to be quite as good as, you know, he doesn't shoot really at all. That's a complete work in progress. So there's no Kevin Durant. There's no LeBron James. He passes well, but he's not a point guard like LeBron. I think he's going to be a really good player. I've said he's somewhere between Charles Barkley and Dominique Wilkins. As far as what I think he's going to be at the next level, more power than Dominique, who is still powerful.
Sure.
You know, maybe more flexibility, more raw athleticism than Barkley. But I just mean as far as a guy who absolutely owns college basketball, the mindset, the dynamic nature with which he plays the game. Who has thrown down dunks? Competition dunks, whether it's breakaway or even in traffic, who is blocking shots out at the three-point line and throwing it into the end? Who's going up and blocking shots and then getting knocked down by the backboard? You know, even his falls are epic. The next time he falls, he blows out his shoe and Nike loses $3 billion. I think he may be, because Michael Jordan didn't have this. Maybe it's because there wasn't enough TV coverage.
No, but he didn't.
But, I mean,
He didn't, and LeBron didn't play in college. So,
right?
No, not he's certainly unique. His physical gifts, you know, with his height, his body size. He's a unique individual, and quite the attraction that maybe college basketball hasn't had in a while in terms of just somebody appointment television watching. You know, when Duke's on, you want to watch it, not to see Coach K coach, but you want to see this guy play because he is kind of a freak. And that's something we talk about, is how college basketball doesn't have, it's always about the names on the front of the jerseys and not the back. Well, he's somebody. I did not see the beginning of the game yet last night. I was doing something else, so I turned it on. It was about the first TV timeout, and they come back on the floor, and they go, "Well, what is it? Did he pick up two fouls? What happened here? Where is Zion?" And you know, then I quickly found out what had happened, and I was thinking, I don't know if I want to watch this anymore. You know, I'll keep it on, but it was a different watch for me after he was out of the game. He's unlike. And throw in the fact that he's left-handed. I think that makes it kind of special too. He's just a different cat.
You know, I think he is the poster child of the one and done rule. This is why college basketball and the NBA fought for the one and done. You know, he would probably be coming off the bench and grabbing 14, 15 minutes a game in the league right now as a straight to the league recruit. Maybe even you get some team that's in tank mode and sends him down to the G League to work on his jump shot or something, and so we don't really even see him. But I think in all likelihood he'd be the sixth man, maybe starting. Maybe he starts on a really bad team and he's going for 18-9 in the league as a rookie, and you're like, wow, this guy's really good, he's going to be pretty good. But he owns college basketball, which is its own stage. This is exactly why the NBA loves having a free minor league, is because they're going to get a rock star next year. I mean, he's selling tickets. And of course, that's why one of the reasons why they love him in college basketball is because he's selling all these tickets for them. But he is an absolute rock star And he's a ready-made rock star that's just there, ready to go. So, you know, I think that's why the league, this is what college basketball wanted. For 1 year, we know freshmen can dominate. We got Kevin Durant for a year. We got Anthony Davis for a year. We get Zion Williamson. This is why they wanted the one and done. It's everything that's great about the one and done. It's just completely unfair that Zion Williamson injured his knee last night while Cameron Indoor Stadium and Duke University were making millions last night alone, and Nike's value of being on Duke was clearly worth $3 billion more than it was last night, and Zion Williamson's getting nothing. I mean, you know, that's not nothing. I don't want to say nothing, but he's not getting anything near the financial impact, the financial gain that he brings as an impact player to college basketball. I shed no tears. I'm not, you know, a Duke education is a wonderful thing, and if he blew out his knee last night and could never play again, he's got three more years to go to Duke, get a great degree, and start earning a lot of money coming out of Duke. So it's not like, you know, the world screwed him, but if the bottom line is your bank account, last night was potentially one of the biggest sad stories of the one and done. That's the scary part of the one and done for any kid and the families of those kids that are looking at what the financial impact is for their family.
And if you need more fuel to the argument to get rid of the one and done, last night could provide maybe the clearest example of that. My thinking on one and done has evolved. I really enjoyed it at the beginning. I was tired of losing or not seeing the likes of LeBron James and others going straight from high school to college. I thought, okay, listen, if colleges can only get them for a year, I'm good with that. And early on, when we saw Kevin Durant and his game at Allen Fieldhouse, along with all the other games that he played for Texas in that 1 year, Kevin Love at UCLA, and that Final Four, the championship year for KU, and you had Love for the UCLA and Derrick Rose at Memphis, and you know, just a couple others. But you know, as time went on, the one and done, it just changed the balance of college basketball and rosters and created more of a problem. It's not. Ratings don't change whether these players are there or not, and interest, I don't think, in basketball and college basketball changes whether these players are there or not. I think my feeling is everybody has the right to go out and make money, and if your services are valued at such a point when you're 18 years old or whatever, 18 years old, then you should be able to cash in on your value. And so Zion Williamson, you know, the Kansas players, Kentucky players, Duke players that have been one and dones since the rules started. And of course, Kansas really didn't get into it until later. I think they should be able to make money as soon as they can. Make money as soon as somebody thinks they're worth that money.
Let me go back to something Bill Self said to me last week when we had him on, and I brought up, because there's been so much talk about whether or not the NCAA is going to be on campus for Kansas, and I brought it up to Bill Self, and of course, you know, he answers the question, you know, just like he did at Media Days. He sat down and said, "How you doing, Coach Self?" He said, "You know, I'm great. I have literally never been better," and you knew exactly what he was getting at. He always does a great job of diffusing the tension that may be there. But I thought it was interesting. You know, I think mostly people hear from Coach Self what they want to hear, right? If you're a KU fan, you hear that, hey, we've done nothing wrong, bring it on, and we're going to be fine. If you're a K-State or Missouri fan, you hear that, you know, here's a guy who's clearly, you know, cheated the system. But if you actually listen to the words of what he said to me last week, bottom line is they're going to come in. The NCAA is going to go investigate everything that was brought up in the trial. And the reason I bring this up now is because Zion Williamson's name was brought up in the trial. And so while we talk about how much, you know, light he's shown, that game last night shown on the Carolina-Duke rivalry and everything, Zion Williamson's still in the middle of this FBI investigation. And, you know, I'm sure on Tobacco Road there's many people talking the way we hear, you know, fans that don't like Kansas talking around our parts about Kansas, because I do think it's amazing how his name is mentioned in and amongst, like, what it's going to take to get him, you know, the alleged comments to get him to Kansas, and nobody is talking about what did Duke do he just goes on and is this star at Duke. And I'm sure, like I said, on Tobacco Road, and maybe you know because I know you got family back there, does that come up with Duke and Zion Williamson's recruitment?
Yes, yes, it does. I mean, there was a story, was it earlier this week or late last week, where involving the current investigation, and but this one centered on James Gatto, who's a figure in this Adidas executive in this investigation, who is on, I want to say on tape. I don't have the story in front of me, so but it was reported by Yahoo Sports, which has been out in front of this story the entire time, and our buddies Pat Forty and Dan Wetzel and Pete Thamel, who said that yes, the sort of the next shoe to drop in this is the Nike involvement and the Nike school. So and basically have Gatto on tape saying as much. So absolutely, it's not going to end. I feel sure that it's not going to end with Louisville, Kansas, Arizona, schools that have already been mentioned and Adidas schools. And of course, we've the assistant coaches who were identified early in this. Some have had their day in court, and I guess others will in April, and they're starting to. You know, they're starting to make deals, cut deals for themselves, and so there's that aspect of it as well. I absolutely believe that this is a larger blanket will cover college basketball in this. I don't know if that's going to stop it's not going to stop any investigation. The NCAA has said that it's going to investigate any allegation. So. We'll get that. I just think the net's going to be cast much wider than what we think it is right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think all this stuff that we're seeing, go on right now is, the precursor. And I don't mean like there. I don't think there's. I am one that I don't draw conclusions until I see something that gives me a conclusion. Right. So I'm not one to tell you that. Kansas and Arizona are all definitely going on probation. I don't know. I haven't seen the thing yet that assures me that that's going to happen. It may. There may be more information out there, but I know this. I know that the investigation at least got everybody thinking that, all right, there is no reason for Zion Williamson to be in college basketball, that it's not helping the overall intent of amateur athleticism at the college level. And so I do believe that very soon the NBA is going to be bringing them straight to the NBA. And, I think it's what's fair. I don't think it's necessarily what's best for college basketball from a star power standpoint, but it's certainly what's fair. We'll take a break. Blair Kirkhoff is with us here in the program. When we come back, we'll get into the big games this weekend. KU trying to run down K-State, Texas Tech. Right there in the middle. Also want to talk about the comments of Konzo Martin after their game with Kentucky. Blair was there. We'll do that next here in the program.
All right, the Tavern, end of the hour answer. Before Duke last night, what was the last AP number one to lose by at least 16 points at home?
Ooh.
Boy, 16 points at home.
I don't know. Usually there's a local angle.
There is not in this case.
Okay. Then I'm going to say Ralph Sampson in Virginia, just to throw a dart, because otherwise I have absolutely no idea.
I'll say Duke.
It's not like that thinking, too. It was actually UConn, a team that would eventually lose to Duke, or beat Duke in the national title game. UConn lost to Villanova on February 1st, 1999 by 17. It's been 20 years since the number one team lost by at least 16 points at home.
I think that was the Rip Hamilton UConn team.
Team that lost, or the beat Elton. I keep saying lost. They beat Elton Brand.
In a great final. It was a great championship game that year.
St. Pete.
In St. Pete. Yep.
Yeah. Great food at the Tavern. Great spot to go tonight, whether it's for happy hour, getting together. Great spot to watch a game, too, in their bar areas, both the Tavern in Prairie Village and the Tavern at Mission Farm. You can make your reservations right now by going to tavernrestaurants.com. That's tavernrestaurants.com. Great food. Stylish atmosphere, classic American cuisine. You will love it at the Tavern at Mission Farms. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff here in the program from the Kansas City Star. brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe. Blair, let's talk a little bit about first the comments from Konzo Martin. He mentioned, you know, was asked, I think you asked the question about guys buying in and that kind of thing, and I thought it was great the way he reacted with, like, listen, you know, buying in, like that's not even something, and we know there are times that it happens. He acted like it's a prerequisite before you ever step on campus. And then he kind of went on and talked, and most people are perceiving that he was kind of saying, hey, we're kind of moving on from Kevin Puryear. I get it that you've been here for a long time, but we got to do what's best for the program. What did you make of all his post-game comments after the game?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. The game itself was interesting. You know, it was on a night when it looked like the only highlight for Missouri was going to be the retirement of Derek Chivas as number three, and you know, they did a nice little halftime ceremony for that, and then the whatever it was at halftime, a 13 or 15 point lead went to 20 early in the second half, and you're just wondering why are people even sitting around anymore watching this game, and then Missouri made a really spirited run and played well, ran their offense. Kentucky and Calipari said after the game as much, that they were trying to kind of shorten the game by taking long possessions, shooting toward the end of shot clock. They wanted to get out of there. Reed Travis had gotten hurt, and he just wanted to get out with a win. But anyway, that it all allowed Missouri to get the lead, get the margin to six, and I was just kind of dumbfounded that Missouri was able to do this, that they were interested enough to, you know, to keep battling. And so that prompted the question afterwards. I was impressed by that. And so I asked Konzo, why, you don't want to be insulting with a question. You know, you guys are obviously going to lose. You know, why'd you keep playing hard? But you put it in a different language. But that's sort of what the effect of the question was. And he was like incredulous about that. You know, what do you mean? I mean, of course these kids are on scholarship. They're going to play hard. It doesn't matter what the record is or where we are in the game. And I just, you know, that reflected what I saw on the floor. And I really admired that. Listen, that doesn't change the fact that they're 12-13 overall and 3-10 in the SEC. Missouri's not going anywhere this year. And yes, later he said that they one of the reasons they went to a four guard lineup was to get Kevin, you know, because Puryear was out of the game and he had missed a couple open threes, he'd missed inside, he just wasn't being effective at all. You know, I didn't kind of notice what he was doing on the defensive end, but obviously the coaching staff didn't like what they saw from Puryear, and so they went with with young guards, and that was pretty much the fueled the second half thrust by the Tigers. So I really appreciated Konzo being, you know, honest and forthright about these things after the game. And if you're a Missouri fan, how do you not like what you hear from him and think that, you know, get some guys in there, and they do have guys coming in. In fact, one of their commitments was introduced during the game, and you know, four star player sitting behind the bench. So the future I think is going to be brighter for Missouri, and Konzo Martin was pretty impressive after the game.
Yeah, I like that. I think I agree with you. I mean, you're like, okay, yeah, that's my coach, and he's going about things the right way. Was it LaTrevion Jackson?
Yes, Trey. Yeah,
or
Trey.
Mario McKinney.
No, Trey Jackson.
Yeah.
Four-star
Trey
guys. Is he power forward? I don't have his.
Yeah, that's what
like that's a yeah, 6'7", 6'8" guy. Yep. Really nice build, and so a kind of guy, sort of the guy they're missing this year, right? The Tillman, you know, Tillman had a nice second half, and I thought this was interesting too. You know, he only had 6 points and 5 rebounds, or something like that, or 7.6 rebounds, but he was +7 in the game, which, you know, in a game that they lost by 8 points, he's +7. That's how important he is in his 24 minutes. That's how important Tillman is, and that's why it's just essential that he stay out of foul trouble. His second foul in that game. I don't know if you were able to watch it, but his second foul was such a terrible call. You know, that was a foul for being Jeremiah Tillman, and everybody just kind of rolled their eyes and said that, you know, only he gets called for that. He's jostling, and there should have been a no call. Could have gone either way. He gets the second foul 5 minutes into the game and has to sit, but he did come back and play in the first half, and played really well in the second half.
Yeah, I like where Missouri's going. There's still a long way to go. You know, I mean, I don't think they're there yet. They got to prove that they were more than just that, the one family of recruits, to be all they can be. But you do see, if you're a Missouri fan, you see signs that, you know, the team's not quitting. They played tough against Kentucky. And so I think there is a lot to like there. Reed Travis does get hurt. He's supposed to be out 7 to 14 days. Now, what does this do to Kentucky that was really making a push for a one seed?
And I think they're still on track for that. In building that 20-point lead, I was just, wow, what a team. And they're playing so well. The only loss since like the new year basically was that home loss to LSU on the tip in, I guess I still don't understand offensive goaltending because I thought that's what it was, but would have prevented overtime if they'd waved it off. But that's a good question. It's funny for college basketball fans around here, they remember Reed Travis when he was at Stanford. And he came into Allen Fieldhouse a couple of years ago and just lit up Kansas. I mean, 30 points and double-digit rebounds. And I just thought, wow. And when he decided to transfer to Kentucky, I thought this was just going to put the Wildcats over the top. I mean, this guy, but he hasn't been that guy. And it's one thing for him to be the centerpiece of a team like he was at Stanford. He's just, you know, another one of the All-America candidates at Kentucky. They did play differently with him out of the game. Still, I'm impressed with the Wildcats, and I would not be surprised if we saw Kentucky in the Midwest Regional, which would bring them to Kansas City if they won two games, the first and second round games. So, Kentucky, the way they hit, I guess my enduring image of Kentucky is the victory over Tennessee a few days earlier when they just destroyed top-ranked Tennessee. And this is a team that hasn't done much wrong in the last 2 months.
No, they look really good, and they're really coming on. And they got some help with Florida knocking off LSU last night.
Yeah.
And they've got another game with Tennessee.
In Knoxville.
Yeah, so they've in Knoxville, so it'll be tough. But, I mean, if they win that game at Tennessee, I think they're barreling towards being a one seed.
I think so, too. It looks like, well, we'll see with Duke. I mean, how long Williamson's out and what just kind of where they go from here. But, you know, going into the week, I still thought it was Tennessee, Duke, Virginia, and Gonzaga as the four number ones. And Kansas maybe on the three line right now. Kentucky is a two. Kansas is a three. Look, you know about the committee. They take into account the injuries, and we'll see what this does to Duke. And I don't think we have heard yet what the extent of the Zion injury yet. But to lose by 16 at home, even without Williamson, that does speak to what it was a jolt for sure. And Duke couldn't rally around the injury. They were a different team without him. And we'll see about Duke going forward.
Yeah, I'm looking at Kentucky's resume. Wins over top 30 teams. Tennessee, Mississippi State, Florida, Kansas, Mississippi State, Auburn, Louisville, North Carolina. That's a pretty extensive resume
that's
for them.
Yeah.
And the LSU loss, yeah, is going to come with an asterisk next to it. And we'll see. I mean, that game against Tennessee is big. And big for the Vols. And I was struck by something. You know, when we did the 2-minute drill on Monday, Nashville was one of our stops, and we were talking about Tennessee, and Braden Gall said that he's from the Nashville area, but worked in Austin and covered Rick Barnes. He said, "Yeah, what he's doing is great." He said, "But you know, you got to do something in the NCAA tournament." He goes, "And I'm still interested to see what happens." You know. The Saturday or Sunday night of the tournament, if they're not moving on to the second weekend, then that's pretty much going to flush this season for Rick Barnes right down the toilet, was kind of what he was hinting at, that, yeah, it's great and finish up great, but you better do something in the tournament. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is. I think you and I are on the same page with Barnes. We've always liked him as a coach, and he got to, you know, he got Texas to the tournament like every year but one while he was in Austin. And so what was it, 15 out of 16 or 16 out of 17 years, a real, you know, great track record there. but only one Final Four. Maybe a two Elite Eights or something. I know with the LaMarcus Aldridge, P.J. Tucker team, they got to the Elite Eight 1 year and lost to LSU. But last year, with a really good team, and maybe a three seed, but that was one of Loyola's victims a year ago.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That is the Rick Barnes MO. It's really nice regular, able to recruit terrific athletes, good regular season success. Never won a Big 12 tournament. Got to the Final Four or five times, but couldn't ever beat Kansas in the final. And then you get to the NCAA, and it just doesn't happen for him and his teams. I mean, I think Kevin Durant was one loss and one and done in the NCAA tournament. And too many of his better teams lost. I can remember the team with Jordan Hamilton and Avery. I think Bradley was on that mm-hmm. team. Maybe Tristan Thompson somewhere in there, and they lost a second round game in Tulsa. So he just, even with solid players, he underachieves a little bit in March.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about KU and K-State as the Big 12 race coming down to the wire. That's next here in the program. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC. All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking college hoops with Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, college columnist. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, I-35, and Santa Fe. Great selection of GMC Sierras. If your truck is your office, Brogdon is the place for you. Go see him right now at I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. Blair, how about this race coming down the stretch? First of all, let's talk about the health of Dean Wade. How surprised were you to see him out there on the floor against West Virginia?
I'm really surprised. Just because when you don't finish a game 2 days earlier and it's a foot injury, all you ever hear about foot injuries is they need rest. You basically have to stay off of them. Use crutches or whatever. You have to stay off. And there he is starting and playing. I didn't see what his minutes were, but he got a lot of minutes in that West Virginia game. So surprised to see, but he played well, and maybe it's okay. We'll see about Saturday when they play at home against Oklahoma State. So good win. I know there was a little bit of fear for Kansas State going into that game. West Virginia had beaten Kansas and Morgantown, even though the Mountaineers aren't playing well. They're capable of with a good crowd and Huggins type team. They're capable of creating some havoc at home. But and it was close for a while. But K-State pulled away at the end and rebounded from their loss on Saturday to Iowa State. So they're sitting pretty. I mean, they're still in really good shape, leading this league by a game, and should be in good, should be okay on Saturday with Oklahoma State visiting. And if we talk about this in terms of Kansas and Kansas State, and maybe even a little more so with Iowa State losing at midweek to Baylor, but Texas Tech is there too, and I want to. The loser of the Kansas-Texas Tech game is likely going to be two games behind Kansas State with four to play. I think with four to play, so you almost think the loser might be out of it for the league race. It could be an elimination game Saturday in Lubbock, but I still think Kansas State's in pretty good shape.
What do you think Kansas State finishes? Since they're the one everyone's chasing, what do you think they get home? By the way, Dean Wade played 32 minutes.
32, yeah.
In that game.
All right, so give me, you got Kansas State.
Oklahoma State.
Win.
Yep, Oklahoma State. At Kansas.
Loss.
Okay.
And then
Baylor.
Home, right? Baylor at in Manhattan.
Yep, home for Baylor.
W. Although I certainly like Baylor lately.
At
TCU, right?
At TCU. Yep.
I'm giving him a W. TCU is just not three losses in a row. They lost to Oklahoma State this week. So, yeah. So 3-1 so far. Is that it?
And then Oklahoma at home.
Yeah, W. 4-1. So 13-14. That's 14-4.
Yeah.
That may be a little ambitious, but hey, we're not going to talk before KU K-State on Monday night. K-State's actually played until this year, the previous couple years, Kansas State played Kansas better in Lawrence than they did in Manhattan. So I don't know. At Kansas State at full strength or close to full strength. I think because of this leadership, because of the veteran presence, I think they're the best team in the league. I really do. I think Kansas State's the best team in the league when they're close to full strength.
I think that's fair. And I think Bruce Weber talking about the schedule and not liking some of the things he's got and you know, but listen, there's no travel going to Lawrence, right? I mean,
that's right.
It's virtually nothing. The guys barely have time to start farting around on social media on the bus before they're there. So it's not like there's a big travel to turn around on Monday. And I think in this case, they get the better of it because Kansas has to go to war with Tech down in Lubbock on Saturday, where the Cats play a comfy game at home against a bottom feeder. So, you know, they come into this game I think with the better lead up to it. And so I don't think there can be any excuses on this one. They need to come in and play well. And Kansas may or may not have, they're talking about Garrett being back. He's Bill Self saying, well, he might be 85 or 90%. For this game, so I think they'll get Garrett back. How good he'll be playing twice in 2 days remains to be seen. But I'll say this about the Cats, right? Not making excuses, but they have right now their bench is giving them almost nothing. I mean, about all they're giving them is minutes and a few fouls.
Right, especially with Jada out.
With Jada out, I mean, somebody on that bench has got to step up. And you know, I know McGurl played 17 minutes, but what did he do?
Right.
In those 17 minutes.
To that point, in the second half on Monday night, K-State had a 7-point lead just before the 12 under timeout. And in less than a minute, they lost it all when Dean Wade and Barry Brown went out of the game. Tried to give them a little, you know, media timeout rest. And Kansas State almost just fell apart over a minute. That is something to pay attention to going forward, and a foul trouble can be an issue. And although this isn't a Kansas State team that gets in a lot of foul trouble, but that is important. The depth hasn't been there for, especially the front court depth for the Wildcats. McGurl's I think is, you know, serviceable off the bench. I think he'll be a good player going forward.
Right.
But between Stockard and Love and Trice, you know, the front court depth, it's just not they're not getting much there. They need Maween to just play well, you know, just when he's in the game, play well. Don't miss dunks, you know, stop missing dunks. Don't take your eye off the rim when you go up for a dunk. I think that's what's happening. I mean, there was a great shot from the backboard on one of his dunks where he almost turned his head when he went into for the slam. I mean, what are you doing? It's the most fundamental rule in sports. You just keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the target. And he took his eyes off.
Well, I can't remember who it was, whether it was Zion or Anthony Davis in an NBA game, but somebody threw down a dunk. Maybe it was LeBron even. Threw down a dunk and it hit him in the face. And so I think he's trying to, you know, you throw it against the back of the rim there and it shoots right back into your face. A lot of people go, oh, it's a dunk. You don't realize where the ball goes when it comes through the net. So I don't know. Maybe he took one right off the nose recently. And so now he's trying to get his face out of the way. When he throws it down, I mean, listen, just be like, you know, Jokic with the Nuggets. Just don't dunk. You know, just lay it in.
Right.
He has more, by the way, sidebar, NBA. Jokic, Rudy Salazar told me this out here because he's a Nuggets fan. He has more triple doubles than dunks.
That's amazing.
At 6'10".
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah, he has like six. Yeah, he has six or seven dunks. It's not that he can't do it. He will just lay it in instead of throwing it down. And so I thought that was amazing. Like, here's a guy who's, I think he's averaging 20, 10, and 7 assists. And he has six or seven dunks. So not an above-the-rim player by any stretch of the imagination. All right, so who do you got, Blair, against KU and Tech? Who do you think comes out with the win there?
I'll take the home team there. Tech's playing better. This is kind of a revenge game for Tech. You remember Kansas clinched number 14 at Lubbock last year. Devontae Graham clinched, I think, Big 12 Player of the Year. It was just a great win for Kansas at Lubbock a year ago. Chris Beard is such a good coach. If Marcus Garrett plays, that evens things up a little bit for me. You put Garrett on Culver maybe and see what happens. But I think I'll take Tech in a close one. I having said that, I really do like what Kansas has been doing the last few weeks. Really, since Legero Vic however we're describing his separation from the team, the Kansas has played better chemistry, just better all around basketball for the Jayhawks here in the last. That win at TCU was to me an eye opener, and I know TCU isn't playing well now, but I just thought that was a real statement victory for Kansas.
Does Legero Vic come back in your mind?
I don't know. You know what? If he doesn't, then I'll need some kind of explanation why he was gone in the first place. What is it? Just throwing him off the team? Is that what it? You know, is it simple, as simple as that? It could be. It could be. What is there? Personal issues? The mother has spoken, right? Lala Vic, and you know she said it's he was needed at home, so you accept that, but. I don't know. They sure are playing pretty well without him. He's the one senior on the roster, and not doing what you'd expect a senior to do.
No, you're right. Blair, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Saran, safe travels.